gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. Free Speech Central. Go there. Click on the donate button. Send shekels. Also, go to nationalbugle.com. Download the kosher-tified app. Wow, we are leading a non-kosher certified lifestyle. We've got big kosher certification problems. And you know something? Oh, and of course, today is Monday, which is a great day on RBN because that is the day we have Mark Collett joining the show. Mark, hello.
Top of the day to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I was tying in, and I think this is very relevant, the kosher certification to the Jeffrey Epstein scandal. Because when this started, it was huge. It's a huge, huge scandal. And it's not just sex trafficking. It's not just some sort of Mossad spy case. This is huge. And I remember for a couple of weeks, I was trying to think of a way just to encapsulate it into one little title. And I think I was on your show doing my usual shilling for kosher-tified, and it just all of a sudden dawned on me, this is a kosher certification scandal, that these politicians are being kosher certified. And a lot of people, I think the natural response to a lot of people was that these politicians were getting tricked. They were being lured because they're all such perverts and pedophiles that they're being lured by these young girls and then secretly filmed. And that might be the case in some cases, but I think in general that they are doing this willingly. They know that this is tantamount to getting a big U with a circle around it tattooed on their forehead, that they become kosher certified. It clears the way. The Zionist Mossad connections in the media and the political contribution world, they get the green light to support this person for higher office. And I think this, you know, AIPAC does kosher certification at a low level, and they kosher certify hundreds and hundreds of Congress people and congressional candidates and even, you know, state level candidates. But I think what Epstein was doing was a high level kosher certification. I think people went into it knowing that they were providing Mossad, Epstein and Mossad, with blackmail material, and they did it willingly because they figured that the benefits weren't the sex, but the benefits were the access to Jewish power, that this was going to outweigh, you know, all they have to do is be loyal to Israel. All they have to do, and, you know, I think they went into it willingly. And I noticed this morning, because I've been pushing this idea for the past 2 or 3 weeks, and I noticed this morning that Andrew Anglin, on his site, said the same thing. He had an article, I don't know if you saw it, about Prince Andrew. He was saying, I don't know exactly what to think of Prince Andrew, because with the politicians, yeah, the politicians would go into this willingly in order to get access, but Andrew was born into his position. What does he need it for? So he was kind of wondering about that. But he also made one other, and I'm about to turn it over to you, but he also made one other interesting point, because I had been wondering aloud, you know, while I was talking about the politicians going into it willingly, you know, Epstein also was inviting to these parties and to his yacht and island. He was inviting prominent scientists, all of whom were Jewish. These prominent scientists, Steven Pinker and other intellectuals, Alan Dershowitz, but, you know, a lot of Nobel Prize-winning physicists and whatnot. And I didn't know quite what to think of that, but Andrew Anglin said that the role that these people would be playing would be to give an air of gravitas and kind of legitimacy to these parties, to make it easier for the intended targets, these politicians, makes it easier for them to attend if it's, you know, some intellectual thing with Harvard professors and Nobel Prize winners. It makes it easier for them to attend. So I thought that was interesting, and I think this is a massive, massive case. But would you like to comment on where the heck Prince Andrew fits in this? Because, oh, last thing, there's a recent video that's emerged of him at Jeffrey Epstein's mansion in Manhattan, and this is from about 8 or 9 years ago, and he's kind of peeking out the door saying goodbye to some young girl as she leaves the mansion. I don't know if you've seen that. That just got released.
Oh, no, I have. It's quite a big scandal here now. It's all breaking. Now, firstly, I do want to make what I think is an important point. It's a slightly long-winded point, but it's an important one.
We have time.
Bear with.
Sure.
Now, I think there's something that needs to be, that's very important here. And that's the issue of culpability. Now, we all have our vices. We all have the things that we like that maybe we shouldn't like. We all have things that we do which probably aren't, you know, the best things. You know, some people like a drink. Some people like a cigar. Some people like a cheeky bit of fast food. And others like beautiful women. Some people like a flutter on the horses. And we all have our little vices. Now, I'm a red-blooded male, and I can understand how people would like some fun with an attractive girl. And I can understand how a man could be ensnared. I understand how a man could go to the gym and be approached by a very attractive girl, you know, in a gym gear, who might be like, oh, you couldn't help me with these weights, or, well, you couldn't show me how to use this, and strike up a bit of conversation, start flirting, and before the man knows where he is, you know, she's, you know, all over him, one thing leads to another, and he's been entrapped. And that could happen. I can understand how a man might be out in a bar and a very attractive girl walks up to him and says, oh, you don't have a light, do you? You know, you wouldn't have the number of a taxi firm in the area. Then she gets chatting and, again, he gets entrapped. And I could see how that would happen. I could see how a man could be in a place where he might meet another very attractive adult woman and potentially stray from his partner, or potentially do something that he shouldn't do. And he would do that possibly knowing he wasn't doing the right thing, but he would do it not intentionally. He wouldn't be setting out to do it, and he certainly wouldn't be setting out going to the gym or a bar or a restaurant or somewhere else hoping to meet an underage girl. He would be thinking that it was a chance encounter with a woman of age that he just had a rapport with, and one thing led to another. And whilst we should obviously scold that man for straying from his partner or doing something he shouldn't, having an extramarital affair, you know, engaging in activity he shouldn't with another woman of age, that's a long way away from what's been happening with the Epstein case. Now, with the Epstein case, you have a man who is supplying underage girls to politicians. This is a case where everything is absolutely unforgivable. This isn't a case of entrapment. This isn't a case of an attractive girl bumping into you in the supermarket and happening to be a plant, happening to be a honey trap, happening to be there on that day because an international agency has placed her there. They knew you were going to be there. They've been following your movements. She bumps into you. She drops her shopping. You help her pick it up. And the next minute she's talking to you and, you know, oh, well, here's my number or something like that. This is a case of a man who was already dealing with a known, the daughter of a known Mossad agent. I can't pronounce her name, but it was Robert Maxwell's daughter.
Ghislaine, Ghislaine.
Yeah.
I haven't found any definitive example of how to pronounce it.
No. Well, and the issue we have here is that essentially this isn't a chance encounter. This isn't a honeypot trap. This isn't something where a man was going about his normal daily business and happened to be flattered when a beautiful young girl bumped into him in the supermarket or the gym or a bar or a restaurant. This is a case of politicians members of the royal family, leading international dignitaries, Hollywood A-listers, going to a man who was known to be supplying underage girls or girls of questionable age. Now, I know what people have said about Prince Andrew. Oh, well, she was 17 at the time. That's legal in the UK. Well, it's not legal in, I don't believe it's legal in all states of America. And I believe that he was using underage girls, just as you said, to essentially get leverage on people and to ensure that people said or did the right things by the state of Israel. But this, as I said, is not something where you can say a man's made a silly mistake. This isn't something where a man has been entrapped, where a man's, you know, worst urges got the better of him, but in a relatively innocent way. This is a case, as I said, of people going to a man who was known to be procuring underage girls and using them essentially as sex slaves, pimping out sex slaves to powerful men. And those who have used his services, well, they are unforgivable. Absolutely unforgivable. And the fact that Prince Andrew is embroiled in this is very, very odd. And I know that there's plenty of people who want to give him the benefit of the doubt. There's plenty of people who are now falling over themselves. Oh, you don't be too quick to judge, Mark. Don't be too quick to judge. Well, that's very, very interesting, because I don't want to jump on top of him. I don't want to be the guy that says, oh, let's string him out. Let's string him out to dry. You know, because I think that can often be a little bit unfair. We need, people say, oh, well, we need all the evidence. Well, I'm going to give you some evidence, and I spoke about this on my show last week. The interesting thing about royal family is everyone that meets a royal is vetted in advance. There is no one that meets a member of the royal family that isn't vetted. No one meets a member of the royal family who hasn't been checked. And that's very, very interesting. Because to get access to Prince Andrew, Epstein must have been checked. And also, the other interesting thing with Prince Andrew is not only are people checked when they have interactions with royals, but they are also shadowed, they have bodyguards. You know, Prince Andrew doesn't just go down to the local supermarket. He doesn't just turn up at the local pub. People like Prince Andrew don't just go for walkabouts unaccompanied. If you see these people jogging in the park, or if you see these people at a shopping centre, they are at a shopping centre or jogging in a park because they are doing it as a publicity stunt. They're doing it because, really, they feel they need to, because they want the TV cameras to be there, they want somebody to notice them, they want people to say, oh gosh, look, there was he jogging around the park. And even if they look as if they haven't had anyone around them, even if they look as if there's no one there and it's just genuinely a jog around the park, I can absolutely assure you, they have bodyguards, they have people watching every angle. These people don't go out without monitoring exactly where they're going, who's interacting with them. So what I'm saying is, these presidents, these leading politicians, these royals, they didn't meet Epstein innocently. They didn't meet him not knowing what he was doing. He was a man that was known for procuring underage girls and using them as sex slaves and pimping them out to wealthy men. What's more, not only is he known for that, but these royals, these leading politicians, all of them will have had teams around them that check the background of everyone they meet, that are there, that are guarding them, that are vetting everyone. And for this to go on, there has to be culpability at multiple levels. Mm-hmm. This is not an axe. This is not an innocent honey trap. This is not a man, you know, as I said, walking around the supermarket in a beautiful 22.
Wait a minute. You're not suggesting that in the UK or the United States, at multiple levels, there would be people who would be willing to conspire with Israel against their own country? You're not suggesting that, are you?
Oh, I certainly am, and I'm saying it's happening at every level of power. And Prince Andrew is absolutely evidence of this. Absolutely.
So, you know, I do want to emphasize...
I've got something else. Okay. Stop me. Sorry, Patrick. I don't like to be the guy that butts
in.
We got plenty of time. But this is an important interjection, because I've got a little headline to back this up. You see, he didn't just meet Epstein. He wasn't just jogging around Central Park and bumped into Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein was like, oh, aren't you that royal fella? Yeah, yeah. Do you fancy going, let's go for a coffee, shall we? Oh my gosh, I met this guy while I was out jogging and he happened to be a sex slave. How odd. You know, this isn't a chance meeting. Listen to this. Revealed, Prince Andrew hosted billionaire paedophile Jeffrey Epstein with a young model at Balmoral while the Queen was in residence.
Balmoral being the palace in Scotland, right?
A castle. It's a royal castle.
In Scotland.
And the Queen staying there, mm-hmm. and Prince Andrew was there at the same time hosting Jeffrey Epstein. And the royals have said, this is their quote, it's abhorrent to suggest he would condone or participate in any illegal behavior. Now, I just want to ask your wonderful listeners one little question. Just one little question. Do you think anybody could get, just anyone, could walk in to Balmoral Castle, let alone walk into Balmoral Castle and stay there whilst the Queen was in residence? Do you think that's something that could happen? Or do you think when the Queen's in residence, it's on double lockdown? I mean, if somebody challenged me, if somebody said to me, Mark, I will give you 10 million British pounds for you to try and get into Balmoral Castle, I would think, well, that's a good deal. But one, I would doubt my ability to do it. And two, if I tried, I would be risking my life. Now, Jeffrey Epstein managed to do that whilst the Queen was there. Now, if this isn't setting alarm bells ringing, you know, he got into one of the most guarded royal castles in the whole country. In fact, was invited in, got past all the vetting, all of the people let him in, and he was there when the Queen was there. The Queen is probably the most guarded and protected person in the whole of the UK. Anyone that goes near her is vetted at the most extreme level, yet she shared a residence with Jeffrey Epstein. And you're telling me they didn't know? You're telling me that they're not all up to their necks in it? Well, you're not telling me. I'm saying that sort of rhetorically. But if this isn't setting alarm bells ringing for people, I don't think anything could. I think if this isn't getting people thinking, well, I don't think they'll ever think. If this isn't, you know, getting the noggin jogging, as people like to say, I don't think anything ever will.
Well, you know,
this is absolutely abhorrent.
And just earlier this morning on Dr. Duke's show, he said that if people actually understand what's going on here, it would be the end of Jewish power. Now, that's a pretty big statement from somebody who knows a thing or two about Jewish power. I think that the main point isn't whether or not the people knew what they were getting into, or whether Jeffrey Epstein, you know, he committed suicide or he was murdered or whatever. The main point is that this is part of a massive, massive operation to bring the governments of the United States and Britain and other countries under Zionist control. That's really the main thing. But these other aspects of it are interesting, and it's these other aspects that are going to cement people's attention, rivet people to this, because it's very interesting. And then you get, well, we're coming up on the break, but on the other side of the break, I have a couple of points to make, and then we'll just run with it.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
And we are back. So while it's not necessarily the main point, this is a kosher certification operation. And I think that's the main point. And to get kosher certified, these people need to have, they need to supply their Zionist masters with blackmailable material, with something that they can, as a guarantee. It's a guarantee. It's insurance. I'm providing you with a guarantee here, and now you please sponsor me in my future career. I think that's what's going on for the most part. And if you have somebody like maybe Al Gore, because he's been talked about, or George Mitchell, or Bill Richardson, who probably only, you know, maybe that you can only see that they visited once or twice or something, probably that's all that was necessary. And probably these people didn't necessarily, I mean, they probably weren't going there for the sex, because they just wanted the kosher certification. And, you know, what types of things can somebody hold over your head, right? Well, I mean, Trump once talked about, I could probably stand out on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and nobody would care. You know, and some gangs, they require you to do a drive-by shooting. Well, it's not realistic to expect a politician to go with you on a drive-by shooting. But of the types of things that you could do, that somebody would agree to, having sex with a beautiful young girl, it's probably it's probably about as pleasant an experience as you can imagine, and still be supplying somebody with the blackmail goods that they need. Now, when you got somebody like Clinton, who's you know, took 27 trips on the Lolita Express, or Andrew, they probably just liked having sex with the young girls. You know, it wasn't just a matter of supplying them with, you know, going through the kosher certification process and like, oh, well. And you know, I don't think, some people might be being entrapped, but I don't think they could rely on people being entrapped. Because if somebody's entrapped into it, they're going to bear a grudge. And they might turn when the circumstances, you know, if they're bearing a grudge, they might turn at some point. That's not the type of person you want. You want somebody who's going to go into it willingly. And I'm just going to bring up one last example. In the 1960s, Ralph Nader wrote a book, Unsafe at Any Speed. It was about the Corvair, the Chevy Corvair, which was, you know, produced by General Motors. General Motors wanted to ruin the reputation of Ralph Nader, who was a young man at the time. He was in his 20s. And so they tried to do these honeypot operations. They had these women go by in supermarkets, and they were trying to seduce them. Now, Ralph Nader's not gay, but he didn't go for that. And eventually, he was able to prove that GM was doing this, that they were behind these honeypot operations. And he's a lawyer. He threatened to sue and wound up settling out of court for, you know, something like $500,000, which is a lot back then, and that financed his operations moving forward. So I don't think you can count on these people as much if they're being tricked into it as you can if they're going into it willingly. Because if they're going into it willingly, that's, you know, they are no longer the victim of blackmail. They are a participant in influence peddling. It's, and you mentioned culpability. Isn't that a higher level of culpability if you're going into this willingly? And being at a higher level of culpability, doesn't that make them all that more tied to the Zionist power?
Oh, it certainly doesn't. That was really my point. It wasn't some chance meeting in a supermarket. It wasn't somebody bumping into you, you know, in a bar and then, you know, striking up conversation. These weren't carefully curated plots against men that would otherwise not have strayed. Because this is a very important point, and it sort of furthers what I was saying a few seconds ago, really, a few minutes ago, about entrapment. In the UK, we have strict laws about entrapment. We have strict laws that the police cannot entrap people that they want to prosecute. So if you think somebody is buying and distributing cocaine, you can't walk up to them and say, hey, mate, I've got this huge stash of cocaine and I just want rid of it. You wouldn't give me, you know, say 100 grand for 4 kilos. Oh, well, 4 kilos is usually, I don't know, quarter of a million. You'd given me 100 grand. Oh, of course, I'll have that off you. And then the next minute they're like, well, meet me at my shed just round the corner. And when you get round there, after they've sold you the deal, you know, you then stand there with your 100 grand and the SWAT team moving on you. Because if you have entrapped them, if you've offered them the cocaine, if you've been like, come on, mate, I'll give you at a price you can't resist, come on, it can easily be argued in court that you wouldn't have gone out there. You know, you weren't out there looking to buy cocaine. These people came and offered you it at a rate that was absolutely unbelievable, where you were bound to, or even normal people might think, well, blimmin' hell, I'm not a coke dealer, but I might try my hand like this. You know, this is ridiculous. This is pretty good. You know, it's like somebody coming up to you and saying, do you want to buy these diamond rings, mate? Well, I don't really know. I wasn't really looking for a diamond ring. Come on, mate, they're worth 4 grand each. Well, how much do you want for them? Oh, I'll give them for 20 quid each. Then as soon as you say, well, that seems like a deal to me, and you hand over your £20 for one of these rings, which seems like a sound investment, you know, all the windows come flying in and the SWAT team are through the windows. You know, these things wouldn't stand up in court. They're entrapment. And that's a very important point, because if you are entrapped, it has to be by chance. It has to be somebody putting something in front of you that you weren't searching out. Somebody putting something in front of you you weren't looking for. It has to be the guy coming up and, you know,
and that's a good
putting
point.
Stolen boots in your face.
And we got to go to the break, but we'll get right back to that.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And we are back, and I'm here with Mark Collett, and I am trying to sell him a few kilos of cocaine and some diamond rings at really good price.
Well, looks like I can't resist that magic. See, entrapment would definitely fall under entrapment, what I was talking about earlier, and what you were talking about. Was it Ralph Nader? They were
Ralph
sending
Nader,
attractive
right.
women to bump into him at supermarkets, bump into him at the bar, you know, bump into him when he's filling up, you know, his petrol. Oh, I can't get my petrol cap off. You couldn't give us that? Of course I will. Oh, you're such a masculine fellow. You know, here's my phone number. That is clearly entrapment, and that's clearly something that, as you say, it wouldn't stand up. You wouldn't really be able to bribe somebody particularly well over a case of entrapment like that, because you had been entrapped. However, here, it's not entrapment. This man is selling something that we would see as absolutely disgusting. We would see as something that would be abhorrent. We wouldn't want to buy. It's just hideous. The thought of, you know, seeking out underage sex slaves is stomach-churning, especially for men who've got children. But the fact is, these politicians, it appears that they were seeking this out as if it was some forbidden fruit, as if to them it was this wonderful, wonderful, almost ambrosia that they had to taste, they had to go in there, they had to try. They were treating these sex slaves as a forbidden delicacy, and Epstein was their supplier. He was their dealer of this forbidden fruit. And they were doing this knowingly. And that made it something which had infinitely more leverage. This plan had infinitely more leverage over these people than any form of supermarket or, you know, a chance meeting entrapment ever could. Because let's face it, if you have to sit in front of you know, your supporters, if you have to sit in front of your family, if you have to sit in front of, you know, your wife, your children, your colleagues, your friends, your parents, and explain to them that, look, I was in the supermarket and this beautiful woman came up to me and, look, she was basically throwing herself at me and I was at a bit of a low and, you know what, I shouldn't have done it, I should have succumbed. Well, I think you can apologize for something like that. It doesn't mean what you did was right, but I think people are likely to accept your apology, and I think the public would view that very differently to a man trying to justify why he knowingly went with underage sex slaves. That's something that could never be solved. That's something that could never be explained away. That's something that could never just be brushed under the carpet. That's something that someone's supporters, their wife, their children, their parents, their colleagues, that's something that people just wouldn't accept. And I think that's what makes the Epstein case stand out. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it so salacious. That's what makes it so important, because it really shows two things. The first is what David Duke says earlier. It shows the extent of Jewish power and control over leading dignitaries, politicians, you know, celebrity A-listers, and even the royal family, even royals from around the world. But it also shows something else, something much darker. It shows just how depraved the people who rule over us really are. It shows how sick they are. It shows us the true working of their minds. And that's something that's quite interesting, because when I was first getting into, I've been involved in politics obviously for you know, nearly two decades now, but the interesting thing about my sort of political trajectory is when I became aware of sort of internet politics, YouTube politics, you know, alternative politics on the internet, and I came across people like Alex Jones, when I heard stories of Bohemian Grove, when I heard stories of underage sex slaves, of child sex rings, of satanic paedophile cults amongst the political elites, some of these things, I thought to myself, is that true? I thought to myself, you know, I understand Jewish power, I understand the concept of white genocide, I understand replacement migration, I understand why these people want to do this to us, but are the white politicians, are the white politicians who are going along with this, who are playing along with the scheme, are they really part of a satanic paedophile ring? Do they really go to places and dress up in bizarre costumes and do horrible things to children? Or are these stories just insane stories that are sold to maybe take people off the scent, to sort of cast doubt on other more truthful points? It's like the flat earth thing, isn't it? You know, you hear somebody saying, well, look, I want to question the official figures of a certain historical occurrence, but I also believe in the flat earth. And then you're like, well, you know, are they just saying that to discount the other things? Do they talk a lot of sense but then throw in some real, you know, real bizarre stuff to sort of muddy the waters? And I did often wonder that about people like Alex Jones, but I've got to say, when you hear about Epstein's paedophile island, and when you see you know, when you look over these flight logs of all these politicians going there, you have to say, this is, you know, as close as you can get to that internationalist political elite indulging in satanic paedophile practices. Yeah.
So what I'd say, it's kind of, you know, you said, is it this or is it that? And I think it's kind of in between in a way. I think if we get the flight logs published, if we have like a full outing of all the information, you're probably going to find some people, like Clinton, like Andrew, who were really into it. And, you know, you could make that case that they probably weren't really satanic. They just probably liked having sex with all the young girls. But you could make the case that they were genuine pedophiles. I think you'd probably find a lot of people who had only gone there once or twice, you know, the bare minimum, in order to supply the needed compromat, the compromising material. And these would be people who were seeking the kosher certification. And they weren't. They did it in spite of the pedophilia, not because of the pedophilia, because they thought they were getting those types of benefits from it. That's the way I see it. And, you know, for these mostly Jewish intellectuals who go there, you know, that's an interesting question. They're going to lend their prestige to the operation, and maybe they really enjoyed the pedophilia aspect of it. And I think there's some Hollywood actors. I don't know if Alec Baldwin was involved in this, but Alec Baldwin just tweeted, apparently within the past 24 hours or so, that Russia is behind the murder of Jeffrey Epstein or something like that. And that, you know, obviously the actors are they're also operating in a world that is completely dominated by Jewish power. And, you know, so there could be a lot of quid pro quo there as well. But I think in general, it's not that you have like a Bohemian Grove style satanic cult. I think it's for the most part kind of a quid pro quo kosher certification, although there are some genuine pedophiles or sex fiends like Clinton. I mean, Clinton's not strictly speaking a pedophile. He likes middle-aged women. He likes pretty much anything that moves. So that's the way I look at it. A lot of them probably didn't enjoy it, but they did it in spite of it. Does that sound reasonable? And, you know, I do want to keep this story. I think this is important. I want to keep it in focus, but I don't want people to get tired of it too. And so we don't have to necessarily spend the rest of the show talking about it.
Well, just what I will say about this is, I think you're making a good point. You know, some people may have just gone along with it, but I think some of these people, they will have seen it as the ultimate forbidden fruit. They sound like they're very oversexed, mm-hmm. like they've probably done things, you know, that they too much of certain things, and this to some of them would have been, you know, potentially the final thrill. This would be the kind of, oh well, you know, this is the one thing I haven't done, you know. Mm-hmm. And maybe Bill did like them. I don't know.
Yeah,
and maybe he did like them.
And I think to the extent that there are people like that, and I'm sure there a certain portion of the people associated with Epstein were like that, there's going to be no mistaking that, you know, that those people are going to be accused of pedophilia. There's going to be no mistaking what they did and the nature of what they did. I think that the people who went there just once or twice and went there for kosher certification, there is a chance that there's a mistake. I think it would be a real shame if it was mistaken, if somebody's just gone there once or twice and actually did it grudgingly, but knowing that he was getting something out of it for the kosher certification. I think it would be a shame and bad for our cause if that was misconstrued as simple pedophilia, as opposed to what it really would be, which would be quid pro quo in order to gain Jewish favors. That's why I'm emphasizing this aspect of it. Not that I think this is the only aspect of it, but I think it's the aspect of it that is less likely to be immediately understood, but it's vital that people understand that. That's why I'm emphasizing it.
Well, my issue here is, I can, again, I'm going to draw a little sort of analogy. You know, if these people got together and somebody said, you know, we've got this event and there's going to be some beautiful women there, do you fancy coming and joining us? You know, it's a bit hush-hush, it's a bit of a boys' club. And you could imagine some people maybe getting dragged along. Oh, well, go on then, I'll come along just this once. But what would you actually think when you got there? And these weren't, when they said we've got some lovely young girls there, and they weren't 21, 22, you know, the mid-20s, but they were 14 or 15. So, surely any decent person would be horrified. Surely
and maybe would blow the lid off the whole operation. And the fact that the lid, that's a very good point, that the lid wasn't blown off by shocked people means people were going there knowing what to expect.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing, Patrick. It's a matter of, you know, people obviously went along to these horrific places. They went along, they saw, and while they were there and whilst they were seeing, they didn't complain.
Mm-hmm.
They may have saw. And you said went one or two times. Well, I'm going to be a little bit harsher. Anyone that went more than once is absolutely up to their neck in this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if somebody invited you along, it'd be like somebody inviting me along to something. Somebody said, oh, Mark, so, you know, I live a very sort of clean life. I'm not somebody who enjoys any form of drugs. I don't like, I don't really like drinking. You know, if I'm sat there at a meal and somebody says, oh, do you want a pint of something? I might say, oh, go on, then I'll have a pint of that with my dinner. But I'm not somebody who drinks. But wouldn't it be, you know, if somebody invited me along to some slot, we're all having a night out, and I turned up there and everyone was indulging in, you know, crazy hedonism, drug taking and all kind of craziness, I'd be like, well, I don't think I'll be coming back to this one, guys. It's not really my scene. And if I did go back, it would kind of make me a hypocrite, wouldn't it? Because people say, well, Mark, you said you're against all this. You went along and you saw what you saw. But then you went back. Why would you go back?
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that has to be asked in this scandal, in this horrible situation. You know, if these people did go and see these absolute horrors, if these people did see horrific things, if they did see children being abused, if they saw children being pimped out for sex, why did they go back? Why would they have gone back a second time? Why wouldn't they have said something? Why wouldn't they have tried to blow the whistle on this? And this is the thing. But as you said, it isn't just a simple matter of paedophilia. This is providing some kind of despicable forbidden fruit for kosher certification to have a hold over these people, so they must always do things in a certain way, or vote in a certain way, or supply services in a certain way to the benefit of a certain Middle Eastern nation. And, you know, all of this needs to be taken into account, and it needs to be talked about. And I understand that for some people now, they're like, oh, you know, the Epstein case, you know, are we still talking about that? Well, yes, we are. And I'm not one that wants to bore people. I'm not somebody that wants to keep banging on the same drum. I mean, if you look at my YouTube channel, you can see every week I produce a video, and every week it's a different video.
And
it's,
I do want to talk video about your video white before genocide. We're done.
Yeah, it's not white genocide, you know, 40 weeks in a row. You know, it's about a Hollywood film. It's a review of a movie. It's talking about a book in schools, the transgender issue, you know, the media's promotion of white guilt. It does talk about white genocide. It talk about replacement migration, but there's a range of topics. But this is so important that I think, you know, taking our foot off the gas on this would be rather foolish, especially when, you know, at the moment, I mean, I talked about this at the beginning, that this was being very much covered up. This was, the British press didn't really want to know much about it. It was really down the news feed. But all of a sudden,
yep,
we're in a different position now. This is every day, 5-6 items in the Daily Mail. Every day people are talking about it. You know, pictures of Prince Andrew coming out. This is something that's in the public eye. And while it's in the public eye, we have to be the ones that are saying to the public, look,
making the right points.
Lot more to this than you may have thought.
And I think we've done a great job of that today. I would recommend everybody to spread this program around, because I think we really got into some important stuff, made some had some very good insights. But let us, while we still have a few minutes, what's your video about this week?
Well, my video this week was actually is a bit of a favour to the good doctor, to the Dr. David Duke. He suggested it, and he said, look, Mark, you know, we should go with this. And I was like, oh, sounds good. And it was about a film called The Hunt, which is a reasonable-sized Hollywood production made on a $18 million dollar budget. It had some big name stars: Betty Gilpin, Hilary Swank, Ike Barinholtz, to name a few, heading up this film. Emma Roberts, she's also in it. And this film was a bizarre, I called it actually Hollywood's dark fantasy, but it's actually more accurate. I should have probably called it Hollywood's dark power fantasy, because it's a bizarre film about Trump voters being rounded up, captured, and then hunted by the liberal elite. Liberal elites hunting Trump voters simply because those Trump voters have a different point of view to their own.
Wow. Okay. Well, we are coming up on our last break. Maybe we can hear a little bit more about that when we come back.
OMG! People are jumping on board to the Life Change Tea Regiment. Brew, steep, and drink for a gentle, taste-great cleanse. It's changing how they feel. See what everybody's talking about. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea aids in digestive slowdown and helps people get moving down a healthy path. We won't make claims. We'll just let you decide. Experience is much better than a commercial anyway. If you want results, log on to GetTheTea.com and purchase your Super Strength Cleansing Tea. You won't be disappointed. And if you're looking for some mind-body suggestions, go to YouTube and punch in the search bar Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now. Put power into your health now. So, GetTheTea.com, that's GetTheTea.com for Super Strength Tea, and YouTube, Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now for valuable suggestions. GetTheTea.com, the tea that makes you go.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
And we are back. Now, we are talking about your latest video, which is On the Hunt, a Hollywood movie. And is the movie not going to get released? Is that what's happened to it?
Well, that's the thing. It really does push the envelope, and this is the important thing. It pushes the envelope in a way that I don't think we've seen the envelope really pushed before. I mean, there have been plenty of films that have showcased, you know, anti-white hatred, hatred for Republicans, hatred for really working class folk, and they've pushed their message down our throats until we've gagged on it. You know, that's undeniable. That's something that I think we're all very much aware of. However, we have reached a point with this film where we've gone to a new level. This isn't just anti-white. This isn't just, you know, poking fun at whites. This isn't just making whites out just to be the bad guy. This is a whole new level. This is hunting people down for having a different political opinion to your own. This is a real sick, as I said, power fantasy out of the minds of these Hollywood elites, where I believe it's where they want to be. I believe this is what they want to do. I believe this film is an absolute reflection of what they fantasize about. The whole idea of this, the whole plot, is Trump supporters being hunted down by liberal elites just because they have a difference of opinion. And I can't see that as anything other than a real projection of what these Hollywood elites actually want to do. But it's been cancelled. It's been cancelled because it's so sickening, it's so graphic, it promotes political violence on such a level that it's a step too far even for them. And it's the hypocrisy is stunning, really, isn't it? Because they're constantly calling for gun control. They're constantly blaming people like myself, you, other activists for this wave of gun violence in America. But here they are producing a film that glorifies what is essentially political violence. And the name of the film is very telling because it's now called The Hunt. But beforehand, it was called Red State versus Blue State, which really is a huge nod to the idea of there being a civil war between Democrats and Republicans. And this is all obviously being fanned. The flames of all of this is being fanned by Hollywood, the media, and the very same people who are saying, oh, we need to take away all of these guns and we need to silence these right-wing nutters who are fueling gun violence. Well, in my short video, I'm saying that gun violence isn't being fueled by people like you and I. Gun violence has come about thanks to the mainstream media, thanks to Hollywood, thanks to all of the very damaging things they've pushed. But not only has gun violence come about from them, they are now actively fanning the flames of gun violence on a political axis. They're the ones that are stoking these fires. And to point the fingers at other people, to point the fingers at, you know, people like Donald Trump, to point the finger people like you and I or Dr. David Duke is absolutely scandalous and totally without merit.
Wow. Well, Mark, thank you so much for coming on the show. I think we got a lot of important ground covered. And where can people find your show this Wednesday?
They can find it on No White Guilt's channel called Gardening with No White Guilt. So you can find it there, but I will be tweeting out the full whereabouts of the show before it goes live, as I always do. And so it won't be the usual place, but it will be there.
And you will, and people will want to get familiar with BitChute, because BitChute is a place where you can also find archived videos. Isn't that correct?
Exactly. All of my archived videos will now not be found on YouTube, but will be found on BitChute. So look at my BitChute channel and make sure you sub me there, because if you like watching things on archive, that is where you can find it.
Well, thank you, and we'll look forward to that. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. Thank you.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.